Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And hello, everyone. You have been back and forth from the future to the past to arrive here right now at Mediocrity Podcast, where the show is just okay. Mediocrity Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Look it up, subscribe, love us, rate us, write us a review. I'm Brian Kluger. We have a great show for you today. I'm joined, of course, by the co-hosts with the most, Jeremy Magert.
The co-hosts.
Jeremy Magert and Jonathan Atterbury. How are you divine Dvotchkas doing?
Does a mo-host just sound like some kind of cupcake?
You know? A little Debbie treat?
Yeah. I feel like a mo-host is some kind of little Debbie treat.
I like this mo-host. I want a mo-host.
Brian, you offer us a nice big plate of mo-hosts, will you?
You get two mo-hosts on this fine Wednesday.
What is this mo-host consist of? Is it coconut or peanut butter and chocolate? What is going on here?
Probably just some variation of chocolate cake and then, you know.
Cream.
As they all are.
I like this cream filling. You guys doing all right?
Yes. Doing all right, man.
Doing all right. I see we still have our beards and mustaches in check. I'm glad.
The beards are still here.
Good. I like it. We got a lot of fun stuff going on today. I'm actually curious. So we have our two main event topics later on in the show. And I'm curious if any of us will get choked up during this. Because when doing the research for one of our topics, I must say, I got a little choked up just like finding out what are these things so I don't know. I'm very excited to see that, as well as the other one, and what we think we do well in, but we'll get to that later. We'll see. We'll leave those as surprises, but before we started the podcast, Jeremy said, Jonathan said he was going to tell me something, and I was like, wait, let's do it for the podcast, because it looks like John was about to get real deep talk with me, and Jeremy said something wait, you're going to waste this 5 minutes of good material for not the podcast? So I need to know, because right before we started, John's like, hey, man, real talk. And I was like, stop, let's save it. So I have no idea what's going to happen right now.
Jeremy knows what's going to happen.
I have a pretty good idea. I mean, I just want to put it on the podcast, because half the time we turn off the podcast and we talk for 15 minutes, and that's the only 15 minutes that Kluger's really funny. And so, you know, I just don't want to waste good shit.
Okay.
No, I think that was a good call. So, yeah, in regards to the real talk, there's been something that I feel has come between us, Brian, and I think we really need to work this out.
Oh, my God. And is it giant wiener?
It's not. It's the fact that you've been drifting away from us, from Jeremy and I. As we're sailing forth in our ship, you are left alone on the shore, both metaphorically and literally. And it's bothering me. We are having so much fun on Sea of Thieves, and you're not playing with us, and it's making me really mad.
Whoa! If you could see Atterbury right now, he was talking fine, and then all of a sudden his eyes widened, and he got yelled, and I could see it. So y'all are still playing Sea of Thieves?
Yeah, three times a day, every day.
Breakfast, noon, and dinner.
Basically, yes. And we're having so much fun, but every time we get on and it's just the two of us, we're like, you know, I'm so sad Brian's not playing with us because we miss your shenanigans.
You it is quite. Hey, I had fun. I had fun doing the Sea of Thieves for sure. I just haven't. I haven't gotten it again yet.
I know you haven't gotten it. That's the fun part.
He's had so much fun. He stopped playing it completely and has not been like, "Are you guys enjoying your game?"
Yeah, had so much fun with it that I just don't think it's worth any money.
I mean,
so good.
What's the dude. Question? What's the question? What's
question the question? Is when are you getting the fucking game?
I am so excited to see Atterbury this passionate.
Why? I don't know why every time that there's a game out, I have to talk everyone into getting the game. It's always – that seems to be my lot in life, to try to talk people into getting video games.
I Sea of Thieves for me, it's just – I don't know. I'm enjoying playing Call of Duty, and I play a little bit of Overwatch now, but – I haven't gotten back into Sea of Thieves yet. I just haven't gone that route yet.
Look,
I
know. Just pay for 1 month of the Game Pass for $10.
Seriously. I know you seem to be caught in this web of what if, because you don't want to pay for the Game Pass, because then you've said that if I pay for the Game Pass and then I buy the game, then I've just paid $80 or $90 for the game. And yet you don't want to buy the game because you don't feel it's worth $60. So you got to pick a path. Do one or the other. Either buy the game for $60 or pay $10 and play it for a month. I don't care. You choose.
What if I just don't buy the game?
That option is not on the table for you currently at the moment. It's not
even in the realm of possibility right now. Because the great thing about this game is just because it gives you as Jeremy said, some blogger or whatever made a really great quote, and that is the world's most fun chat room. And even if you just look at it like that, it's true, and it's worth it, because Jeremy and I sit there, we play video games for a couple hours, and we talk about this and that. We have lovely conversations.
We do.
So it's like
there's and we get pressure, and we see people's shifts,
and we're laughing.
We will ruin their day over and over and over again.
About deep, real-life things that matter. And
so it's like an Oprah bonding. Book club. It's like an Oprah book club.
But with pirates.
But with pirates. Yes.
And you, not you.
And not me.
And I just sent you lovely screen captures of our new customized pirate ships.
You did. And I'm looking at these pictures, and it looks like you got like new sails and the new mast with skulls on it.
Bigger head.
This looks amazing. And I like the picture that Shanks actually on the pirate ship.
Mm-hmm. We are having a lot of fun. And there's so much great. I know you're worried about the lack of content, but they recently laid a roadmap, and they're putting out a veritable buttload of content over the next 9 or so months.
And it's all free.
It's all free, baby. There's nothing to worry about.
It's all free, baby.
And they're going to have weekly events on top of like every like 2 or 3 months putting out big events. They're going to do like weekly things to keep people engaged. It's going to be – it is good, and it's going to be even better.
So you're saying I should wait to buy the game? Is that I love that. So don't wait to buy the game, or wait like another
– Don't wait. I'm saying go, but just buy the Game Pass. There's new games coming out all the time on it. That way you don't feel like you're paying a full price for a game that you feel isn't worth $60, even though I would say it's definitely worth $60. Because even if I never played the game again, I've gotten $60 worth of use out of it.
So are you saying you're not going to play the game again?
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay. Oh, you're so funny. All right. I mean, I do miss playing with that with y'all. Sometimes I think about like, oh, it'd be fun to like do the sails and kill a kraken or something like that. It's funny. And like the story you told me the other day, John, that like how you saw a ship, you were the only one on it, and you basically like rigged it to explode when it crashed into your ship, and you jumped off and. That just sounds like fun.
There are awesome things like that happen every time we play.
Mm-hmm.
And you miss out on all of them.
We defeated the Kraken the other day, and it was amazing.
We actually killed the Kraken.
We handily beat the Kraken.
That is, so was it just you two that did it?
No.
And Josie.
Okay, and Josie.
Oh, well. Catilla.
Oh,
so there's the long story short is that there's so much fun happening, and we just want you to be there for the fun and the male bonding.
Well, I like to bond with males, especially you two. And I like pirates, especially in this game. So you might see me sooner than later because I miss it. I do miss it. So do I have a time frame? Is it like within 24 hours or do I have like 6 months?
No. Well, here's the thing. What I want is for you to get the game today. I want you to just go on and get Game Pass today and then play with us tonight. That's what I want. If you're going to do that or not, that's up to you. But that's what I'm saying that I want and expect from you.
Okay. 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 All right. All right. Well, I guess we'll find out next episode if I got the game because there'll be more stories, I guess.
I guess.
I hope. Let's say I get the game. Will my character still be available, like with all my perks and rewards and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's linked to your Xbox account.
Okay. All right. I hope for the best, sirs.
You are a pain in the ass, sir.
A pain in the ass. I. You know what, Jeremy? I think we got a solid 10 minutes out of that.
Probably.
No, it is. I see the time.
Yeah. To think that we almost...
14 minutes.
To think that that was almost wasted on a private conversation.
I mean, that was pretty great.
Meanwhile, all of our listeners have turned it off.
Yeah.
I am done hearing these idiots talk about this video game.
They love it. And I love it, too. I just haven't... it's a thing. So hopefully next week, I'll be able to share a story of some sort of pirate... something happening. But on with the show. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's first talk about a big Steven Spielberg bit of news that came out today. Steven Spielberg, we all know who he is set to...
Who the fuck is Steven Spielberg?
Steven Spielberg is set to make the Warner Brothers DC comic movie Blackhawk. Interestingly enough. So...
Blackhawk?
Yeah, Blackhawk. Blackhawk.
Blackhawk?
Or Blackhawk.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure we're on the same page about that one.
So you know Blackhawk from DC.
That middle C is silent.
Yes. the middle C is definitely silent. Blackhawk is an old school character who first premiered in 1940s and was created by Will Eisner. However, I guess this is kind of a Spielberg comic book movie, which is kind of cool. It's a very adventurous type of movie. I don't know if it's like really superheroist. Do you know anything about Black Hawk, Jeremy?
I looked it up. Yeah, I mean, it's not really your traditional superhero movie. John's losing his mind.
I can't get it together over here.
Is it the Black Hawk thing?
That's all he hears.
It's been said too many times. I can't unhear it now. And you just asking Jeremy what he knows about Black Hawk just put me over the edge. Oh, I'm good. I'm all right.
Are you okay?
Okay.
I'm probably going to be okay until the next time you say it. Ooh, I'm sweating. Oh, my goodness.
He's sweating just sitting there, folks.
Okay. Seriously. So tell us about the Black Hawk.
It's definitely not a superhero comic in that regard. So while this is sort of a comic movie that Spielberg is making, it is not a superhero movie. Hopefully that will... be saved for Spielberg when he does a Fantastic Four movie, which I can think is what everyone is hoping for.
Maybe this is like the kind of like the prelude to that or something like that. Not like this will be connected to that, but like if he enjoys doing a superhero movie, because has Spielberg done a superhero film?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not unless we're counting Indiana Jones as a superhero.
All right. So I guess
I mean,
this...
in truth, this movie is probably going to be not too dissimilar to the like adventure styling of an Indiana Jones type of thing. Like if you Google some pictures of like what these dudes look like, it's airplanes, you know, it's very much in probably in that time frame that Indiana Jones is.
Okay.
That sounds awesome.
So the guy who's writing this is David Koepp, who's done a lot of stuff. He wrote the screenplay for Jurassic Park and Jurassic Park 2 and World of the Worlds. He's done a lot in the movie industry, so it'll be written by him. But I don't know when this movie's actually going to start being made, because the next two films Spielberg has planned for himself to direct, I think, are the next Indiana Jones film and West Side Story remake. So this might be kind of, I guess, in the next like 4 years or so. I don't know. But I guess he's setting aside his things that he wants to do, one of them being Black Hawk.
Sounds fantastic.
It looks like there are some kind of like more modern versions of it, but I'm going to assume he's doing the kind of more vintage style, old school stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I'm thinking so too. And like this is, so Spielberg hasn't really done a whole lot, I don't think, with Warner Brothers up until Ready Player One, really. So I guess he really enjoyed working with Warner Brothers, so I guess this is his deal. And like, holy shit, now that he's doing this, let him do like a Justice League movie. It'll be so much better than what we've seen so far. I don't know. I'm just talking.
One can only hope.
One can only hope, yes. But yeah, so we're all for this, right?
Absolutely. Sure.
All right, cool, cool.
You're all for this movie that Mayor. His name makes John laugh that we had never heard of before this.
Sweet. And you sent a picture, an image of Black Hawk. That looks cool. Looks like kind of like a military police guy.
Little rocketeerish kind of vibe going, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Nice. Very cool.
So, yeah, we'll see. With the what I just said, his next film basically being the fifth installment of Indiana Jones, what are your guys thinking on that?
I may be more excited for Black Hawk.
I'm sure you are.
I really hope
he just like recovered.
Yeah, I really hope that Indiana Jones 5 is good. I hope it's great. But I don't know. The last one was so not awesome.
No, I remember. I remember that.
So that's I just have a lot of I'm hopeful but very reserved about it.
Okay, so Indiana Jones, the fifth one, is supposed to come out in 2020, but nothing's happened yet. And again, he won't do this Black Hawk movie until in Indiana Jones 5 and West Side Story remake. So we've got a little while, 2020. That's like, you know, a year and a half away, technically. So, but it could be 2 years away. So I'm waiting. So before this Black Hawk movie, I really want to know everything about Indiana Jones 5. Like, will it just be Indiana Jones? Or, I mean, will it just be Harrison Ford and not Shia LaBeouf? Or are they going to bring in Chris Pratt to do something?
I think it's safe to say Shia LaBeouf is not going to be in the next one.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I'm kind of curious to see how they handle all of that, you know?
They'll just show his picture on his desk and be like, he died.
Yeah, he died.
Because I feel like it's really tough to like introduce the son, and then all of a sudden he's like not even in the next movie without an explanation.
But yeah, that was well that
it worked for Sean Connery and Marcus Brody.
God, I'm trying to remember if that right actually was his son or not.
It was.
Yeah, man.
They confirmed
it was a motorcycle accident. That's all you got to say.
Okay. I'm just saying, I thought it was the mother's kid, but not his kid. I don't remember because I've only saw it like a...
I would say watch it again, but I don't want to put you through that.
Yeah.
Just take our word for it.
Might have to do that double feature with Spider-Man 3.
Oh, Lord.
We'll see.
That's a rough day right there.
That is a very rough day. All right. Moving on from that, a little bit of home video news real quick. Black Panther is coming to 4K and Blu-ray very, very soon. Expected on Blu-ray, DVD, digital, and 4K in about a month. Tons of extras, including commentaries, behind the scenes, gag reels, and everything else. There's just comes with a ton of stuff. But yes, for you Black Panther fans, you don't have to wait too much longer for you to own it on your own TV, which I take it you all saw it and you all loved it, right?
Of course.
All right, good. Good deal. All right. Besides that, I'm going to talk about a movie that I saw yesterday at the theater, a screening. It comes out this week, and I'm sure you're dying to know about it. I saw last night Super Troopers 2. Did y'all enjoy Super Troopers, the original that came out probably like 15 years ago?
Yes, moderately.
I have not seen it.
You've never seen the original Super Troopers?
Correct.
Oh, you would love it. I love it. I think it's a hilarious movie.
I don't think Jeremy would love it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to say that he might be lukewarm on it at best.
Is that how you are? You're lukewarm on it?
I'm a little bit better than lukewarm. I'd say I'm kind of like, you know, right? I guess out of 1 out of 10, I'd give it a 6. I'd say it's a little bit better than just an okay movie.
Okay.
But nothing that I'm going to be like, oh my God, everyone should watch this movie.
Oh, okay. So I feel differently because I thought Super Troopers, when it came out, was super funny by the gang, the improv troupe Broken Lizard. You know, they've done tons of other things since then, like Beer Fest and Club Dread, the Slammin' Salmon, and then a bunch of them have done their own things. The main guy, Jay Chandrasekhar, the Indian guy, he's done a ton of directing, like Arrested Development and a few other things, but they're very popular. But they're bringing back their sequel, Super Troopers 2, which was crowdfunded like immediately. And oh my goodness, I went into this movie because it's, you know, like 15-year-old film getting a sequel finally. I was just shocked on how amazingly funny it was. I laughed the entire way through it. My cheeks hurt. It's just so good. And it brings back literally everybody from the first movie.
That's pretty awesome. I'm glad to hear it was so funny.
It is so great. And like the whole theater was laughing the whole time. So many great jokes. It's kind of a similar-esque story as the first one, but they kind of play into that a little bit, where I guess the story is the Vermont troopers, you know, your highway patrol guys, kind of get fired from everything, and they're working construction under their boss, who is Farva, which is just so great. They end up getting their jobs back on the Canadian border, and so they're trying to take over Canadian Mounties jobs, and it's just perfect. It's just so funny, and it's vulgar and hilarious and great, and I hope you all see it because it deserves your attention if you really want to laugh for like 2 hours or a little less than 2 hours. So highly recommended. John, do you have any questions about this sequel?
No.
No, you don't care?
No, I mean, I'll probably rent it when it comes out.
Wow. You see this movie, man, in the theater. It's fantastic. And I'm sorry Jeremy hasn't seen the original one. You need to see it. It's so good.
I believe you.
I believe you. I believe you. Oh, I love it. It's so funny. There's a lot of fun cameos in it, and you'll see that. But yeah, it's great. I think you'll like it. But yeah, that's for that. Let's move on. There's a couple trailers that came out. The last trailer for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom we got to talk about. Did y'all see this trailer?
No.
No.
Oh, my goodness. There is a part in this trailer where a raptor jumps out of a glass window in an explosion. It's so great. It's like a Die Hard moment, but with a raptor. And it's,
I'm not surprised at all.
So this last trailer really showcased what the movie really is about than what we've seen before in the previous trailers, which is really...
Why don't you tell us what it's really about?
So I guess in previous trailers, we've kind of seen like them go back to the island to save the dinosaurs because they're like the island's coming apart from a volcano, right?
Okay.
So I think that's pretty much what we've seen. But in this new trailer, it looks like that's the very beginning of the film. And I guess they're trying to save certain species of this on this island of dinosaurs, where they bring Chris Pratt in to get the only remaining raptor, which is his friend Blue, off the island. However, I guess in a twist sort of way, they're not actually saving them. This company has kidnapped all the dinosaurs, gotten their DNA to make like these crazy dinosaurs in the States. So I think that's where the trailer goes. So I guess it's Chris Pratt now trying to destroy all of this company and free the dinosaurs somehow. So
it's not really even a Jurassic Park movie.
I think though it's called Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. From what the trailer said or alludes to is that if we're not careful enough, the dinosaurs will rule Earth once again and become Jurassic World. Like, that's what they're thinking. That's where the trailer alludes to. So
it's like Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Yes, yes, yes. Life found a way. And they'll be back for sure.
I have to admit, this movie sounds worse and it looks worse. The more I see about it, the more I hear about it, it looks worse and worse and worse.
I concur.
After the last one, I pretty much officially stopped giving a shit about Jurassic Park.
I don't even understand how you don't like the last one. I know we've gone into it many times, but...
You know my reasons, but it completely destroyed all the craps that I give about Jurassic Park. I will happily watch the first one over and over and over again till kingdom come, but I don't have any interest in watching the other ones.
Jeremy, what about you?
Pretty much the same.
Okay. So in the last Jurassic World movie, remember that giant like sea dinosaur?
Yeah, the megalodon type thing.
Yes, so there's a scene in this new trailer where I guess that has escaped and it is in like the oceans now. So there's a scene of like everybody surfing, you know, by like a resort beach, and that thing comes right under the water, and it's just kind of it's going to be crazy. Like the new trailer looks fun. I'm telling you, that scene where the raptor jumps out of the glass window in an explosion is, oh dude, it's just like a rock movie. But
I am much more interested in seeing the Meg.
So the Meg looks amazing. We've talked about this, right?
We talked about this last week.
So yes, the Meg is a $150 million Megalodon movie, not a Meg Ryan movie. I don't know.
That looks like a good movie. Jurassic World Lost Fallen Kingdom does not so much look like a good movie.
Look at the new trailer and we'll get back to it. It's just watch the 2 minutes trailer and you're like, okay, I see where they're going. I like the trailer. I'm definitely going to see it.
Out of principle alone, I don't think I will watch the trailer because that's just going to give them one more play.
Damn
support
you.
for their nonsense.
Damn you. Well, I will go see it.
I want them to know that this guy is not okay with what they're doing with Jurassic World. This guy does not support their shenanigans.
Well, okay then. I guess Jeremy's out on that too, right?
Yeah, I'm indifferent.
Okay.
I might watch the trailer out of like morbid curiosity.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm definitely
now, whether or not I will end up in the theater for this movie remains to be seen. I'm not sure.
All right. All right, all right, all right. Okay. We'll figure that out. We'll see. Hey, if you get free passes to it, you'll go, right?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right. Oh, I would like, I might like it. All right.
If he doesn't have to, like, organize his sock drawer or anything that day.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will most likely go to see it if Josie wants to go see it.
Okay.
So he's probably going to go see it.
The new Jurassic Park movie? She just got home.
Okay. Hi.
Brian says, hi.
Okay. Moving on from Jurassic World. Are y'all Triple X fans? And not the porn, but the Vin Diesel action films?
No.
Why do you ask these questions that you know we're just going to say no to? You make us look like we say no to everything.
Yes,
just because you asked nothing but things that you know we're going to end up say no
to. It's because we were breaking his balls about Sea of Thieves, so now he's just making us look like dickheads the whole way through the rest of the show.
Jeez, you guys hate everything. It's the same thing.
Okay. You pieces of shit just don't like anyone, and you don't even like me.
Okay, we have to talk about this, though. Triple X, there's been three movies with Vin Diesel. They're making a fourth one, but what's interesting about this fourth one, Vin Diesel has himself purchased the rights to the Triple X franchise now. So I have no idea what to expect, but they're making a fourth movie already with it. And
what do you mean you don't know what to expect? That's like saying I don't know what to expect about a Fast and the Furious movie.
It's like saying I'm going to Taco Bell. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Diarrhea. That's what you should be expecting.
I like the last
Triple X film. A fucking just messy, greasy ass and food that's not really good. That's what you expect.
Did y'all not see Triple X 3 recently? The Return of Xander Cage like a year or two ago?
No.
Oh, it was so much fun.
I watch movies, man, and I like movies.
You asking me.
Talking about crap.
You asking if we've seen that, like, kind of hurts my head a little bit.
I enjoyed this last one. I did. They brought in Ice Cube. They brought in Vin Diesel. They brought in everybody. It was good. I liked it. I expect these crazy action films with them, so I know what to expect. And it was pretty good. Sam Jackson's in it. I don't know. The fourth one, but now it's under Vin Diesel's watch. So who knows what's going to happen. And who knows who's going to be it since he's part of it now.
Not really anything much different than all the rest of the times is going to happen.
Okay. So perhaps the next thing you will really like that I'm going to talk about. And it's just a little bit of news. Hopefully. Let's see. Do you guys like Stranger Things?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Stranger Things news then. Thank God. Stranger Things for season 3. They have added two new cast members, two new actors. So in the first movie, we kind of had Matthew Modine. In this last one, this last season, season 2, we had Paul Reiser. What older actors do we have this time? We do have Cary Elwes. From Princess Bride and Saw movies and Top Gun, not Top Gun, Hot Shots. we have those guys here. Cary Elwes is going to be a big part of season 3, as well as Gary Busey's son, Jake Busey, which I'm very excited about. So, yeah, there that is. And I guess a lot of the part of the show is going to build up the characters of Eleven and Mike and their romance when a really good movie comes out in 1985 called Back to the Future, which will be heavily referenced. You guys excited about this?
Absolutely, man. I'm looking forward to the next season of that show.
I am too. I'm glad Cary Elwes and Jake Busey, of all people, are in for this. You in for this, Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm down. I mean, I'm indifferent to, like, you know, the obscure cast member additions, but yeah. I'm definitely down for the next season of this show.
Sweet. Me too. They also released a new trailer for Glow, The Glorious Ladies of Wrestling on Netflix, season 2. It is a really fun trailer. Check it out when you get to it, as well as Netflix. Now, I think Jeremy has watched more than I have, but I must say, Netflix has put out all 10 episodes of a rebooted show called Lost in Space. I've seen 2 episodes of it, and holy shit, despite some minor flaws, that show is surprisingly really fucking good.
And I marathoned it this weekend with the woman, and that show is fucking great.
Yeah, there's just a couple things that I was like, okay, like I said, I've only seen the first two episodes, but holy shit, if I didn't really enjoy that. And like in the first episode, just like that great moment with the robot and how they told that story, it was damn good. And I really just, when this show first was mentioned, I was like, ugh, they could really do this terribly because they did the movie terribly back in the late 90s. But this show, they put a lot of money into it, some good people in it, and I love the story they're telling.
Yeah, they did a really good job. The changes that they made to adjust the story, everything works, and man, all 10 episodes are super fun.
John, have you watched it yet?
I haven't watched any of it yet.
Okay. Well.
But I will. I'm looking forward to it.
I think you'll really enjoy it. Lost in Space, about, you know, the family of the Robinsons, you know, marooned out there. It's damn good in how they got the whole robot thing down and how he's maybe a robot, maybe not. At least in these first two episodes, I don't know. I really like it. I enjoy it so much. Also, I have to mention, if you guys have HBO out there, you must watch the documentary on Andre the Giant. It is fantastic and heartbreaking and heartwarming. Did y'all ever watch Andre the Giant or anything growing up?
Yeah, of course.
It is an excellent HBO documentary with a lot of people talking about him and his life and everything. And it's so good.
He fought the greatest wrestler of all time, Hulk Hogan.
He sure did. Not. Although Hulk Hogan is actually a really big part of this documentary, and it's just very, very surprising things that they bring up that I did not know when they made this, or about Andre, that how Andre actually was born a normal sized child, and all the way up till probably about 12 or 13, he was normal size, and then he developed this, you know, the giantism. I don't remember quite the medical term for it. That's when it started. He just wouldn't stop growing. And then I guess the doctors told him that he could, they could fix it. They could like heal or make this better. And he always refused it because he wanted to have the wrestling career. So it was one of the things that I thought was really interesting in it. Which I thought was really cool, but they definitely talk about like Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan talk. Like, I got into this business because of Andre the Giant. He was the boss. Like, he was the guy to go to. He was, if he liked you, he liked you. If he didn't like you, you would see it in the ring. And there's some great wrestlers that talk about like, yeah, he didn't like me too much. And it's just like, dude, he's going to kill this guy. Like Andre the Giant didn't like Iron Sheik. And I guess they show some like clips of him in the ring with him. And you're just like, oh God, Andre's legitimately going to kill this guy. Because he didn't like him in like real life. And it's just like, oh my goodness. But it's really cool how they talk about the WrestleMania 3 and, you know, his whole thing. And it's really good. Highly recommend it. I think you'll like it. Another bit of news that came out, and I'm curious if y'all heard about it. Did y'all hear that The Rock almost quit the movie Rampage?
No.
So did y'all see Rampage yet?
No.
No. Have you seen it? I meant to ask you, actually.
I did not see it, but I had some writers go see it, and they loved it because it's The Rock, and it's fun, and it's, you know, exactly what you'd think the movie was, and everybody liked it. But supposedly, when they brought the movie to The Rock and they signed him on, The Rock said he was going to quit the movie if they didn't change the ending. And this is really interesting. This is in a direct quote from The Rock. "I don't like a sad ending. Life brings that shit. I don't want it in my movies. When the credits roll, I want to feel great. We had a big meeting where they gave me all the reasons they thought George should die. He sacrifices himself, saving the world, killing these animals who had ill intentions to harm mankind. He sacrifices himself like a brave soldier. Okay, but this is a movie. There's a crocodile the size of a football stadium. We're not making Saving Private Ryan. My problem is I have a relationship with an audience around the world. For years, I've built a trust with them that they're going to come to my movies and feel good. So every once in a while, you have to drop this card, which is you're going to have to find another actor. We need to figure something else out. Otherwise, I'm not going to do the movie." So hearing that, What do you think about that, Doug? So I guess like in every Rock movie, at least for the foreseeable future, it's always going to have the happy ending with the Rock saving the day and not like a sad ending.
Is there a question in there?
No,
did you just spoil the end of this movie, sort of?
No, that's
I feel like you have.
Oh no, that's the movie that
we
didn't
know
happen.
That he's going to be okay now.
Yeah, and that he kills the other two monsters, and the Rock lives, and so now I feel like we know the end of the movie.
Well,
you suck,
I feel like
Brian.
This should have had a spoiler alert on this segment.
I mean, with seeing the trailer, you know that's going to happen.
No, I didn't. I didn't know what was going to happen. Now I do.
I'm just saying, with somebody like The Rock who can say like, hey, you're offering me this money, but even though something in the script, you're going to have to change it strictly for me because I have an audience around the world that expects me to save the day. What do you think about that?
I think he's The Rock and he can do whatever the fucking Rock wants.
Yeah, well, I mean, part of the reason, though, one of the reasons that you get The Rock is because of the audience and, like, the volume of the audience that The Rock brings, you know?
Yeah. There's a reason he's called Franchise Viagra.
Yeah.
Is it? Is that a thing?
I believe so.
I had no idea.
He had a song on SNL.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forget these things.
You don't even like The Rock.
I don't even like The Rock.
You know who The Rock is.
You just spoiled his movie on our fucking podcast for everybody.
What are you talking about? Everybody knows that. I didn't spoil. I said what didn't happen in the movie.
So Dumbledore is not killed by Snape.
And Darth Vader is not Luke's father?
He's Dumbledore not. Definitely lives through, like, the first six movies, for sure.
But, I mean, it's Rampage. Well, he's comparing Rampage to Saving Private Ryan.
Six.
And I'm just kind of like, I mean, I get this, like, I mean, I think Will Smith has this aura about him as well. Where he wants to be the guy that saves the day, but Will Smith gone farther, like where he's actually sacrificed himself in movies. Like,
I don't think it's as much that he wants to save the day. I think it's, he doesn't want in a case like Rampage, he doesn't want people to leave feeling like shit because the big monkey died. You know, he doesn't want to make Old Yeller.
I don't think it's an ego thing at all. I think it's that he really wants to deliver a very specific type of feel for his audience. He wants to deliver fun and nothing that's too heavy, and I'm totally okay with that. Of course, you know, I like heavy movies, but I'm not going to watch a Rock film when I'm wanting to feel something heavy.
Yeah.
Let's go see The Rock, and I love The Rock's movies because they're lighthearted, fun action movies.
Right. And you know what? At one point The Rock made kind of a serious movie, and oh man, it was a drug movie. He played somebody's dad, and he wasn't like The Rock in it. He didn't like fight a lot of people.
He didn't hit one single person in that movie.
Yeah, goddamn,
that was his worst movie.
I love that movie. I think that's great. He just drove
a truck around.
Yeah, and
that's what he did.
He should have ripped the handle off that door of the truck. Ripped the door off of the truck completely.
Oh, what was that movie
And just beat
called?
Someone to death with the door of his pickup. That's what that movie was missing.
But you know what? You see, that says like how bankable The Rock is. The studio's like, yeah, let's do it. You know? And of course, yes, you get a better reaction. But I mean,
what are they going to do, put friggin' Adrian Brody in it?
No.
Oh, that was Predator.
That was Predator, yeah. Predators.
Let's put in, Predators. Okay, the Adrian Brody and the guy from that 70s show. That'll be a great action movie.
Oh,
speaking of Predator, when are we getting the next movie? Are they filming this
thing? Never.
What's going on?
I feel like it's just a carrot being dangled in front of our faces
right now.
Didn't
we see like a cast photo like 6 years ago, like back when we first started doing this podcast?
So Predator
2018...
I don't know if it has an actual release date yet. Oh, actually it does. September 14th, 2018, directed by Shane Black, who was in the first film. Shane Black also did, you know, Iron Man 3 and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And he's writing it. He wrote it with Fred Decker, who Fred Decker and Shane Black both did Monster Squad. You know, it stars. Yeah, we've talked about this a lot. Yes, yes, we have. Jake Busey's in it too. Edward James Olmos, Thomas Jane, Olivia Munn, Jacob Tremblay, and it comes out September. But we have not seen a trailer really for it yet. But the poster's kind of cool though. So we'll see. Supposedly it takes place like in like the suburbs somewhere. So we'll see how that works. Interesting enough. But yeah, that's the Predator movie that we're all getting.
I was just asking if we're still getting it.
Yeah, September 14th, 2018, later this year. So we are there. Any other new video game news besides I don't know what any video game news.
Yeah. I've stopped paying attention to all video games besides Sea of Thieves and Call of Duty.
Okay.
There is Battlefront news, although I haven't played the update that I think came out today. Today or tomorrow? Today? Yeah, I think it's today. With the Ewok hunt, something like that.
Oh, is that today? So Ewok
I think
hunt.
It's today.
Do you hunt Ewoks or do they play? I don't know.
It's playable where you're like one team is Ewoks and one team is Stormtroopers.
Oh, fun.
And you basically have to try to eliminate each other. So it kind of sounds like it could be fun, but I don't know. It could be a stinker. The jetpack cargo thing sounded fun until you played it and realized that it was horrible.
I think a lot of the changes for like some of the skins and stuff was supposed to go live with that update as well. And I know they added I think they're adding indoor Han and indoor Leia.
So we've got indoor Han and outdoor Han now.
Yes, correct.
My brain just went. I was like, "What does indoor Han look like? Is he have like glasses and like an asthma?"
You should actually watch Star Wars. It's good. You'd like it.
I know what indoor, but then you said outdoor, and I was like, "What's happening?"
You confused Kluger with that joke.
You did.
He was like, "Well, wait. So is that a Bespin outfit? Is that did he have a dinner jacket on when he went?
He's got his house shoes on.
Yeah, slippers,
sweatpants,
newspaper.
Craziness. Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't really know what's happening with Battlefront. We're all kind of paying attention, just seeing what they're doing with it, and maybe I'll get on and try to shoot some Ewoks, but we'll see how it goes.
I'll investigate it for scientific purposes.
Fantastic.
The fucking Ewoks will be the playable hero everyone's been waiting for.
There you go. All right. I think we can get into our two main events, topics of the podcast, Mediocrity. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Jonathan Atterbury, you have an amazing topic, and I can't wait for you to explain it, sir.
Now, this is actually one Jeremy came up with, so I'm going to let Jeremy explain this one.
Oh.
See, look at all the things you don't know. All right, so the idea with this topic is things you have achieved in video games. And it doesn't have to be something you got an achievement. Like, you don't have to have, like, gamer points or, you know, what is PlayStation's thing? A trophy? Something?
Yeah, trophies.
So it's anything you have done in a video game that you are proud of. Like, just something that you thought was super fucking cool. You know, was something that maybe not everybody did. But, yeah. So, John, would you like to go first?
Sure. I will be happy to go first. So, I'm going to start with the most recent one, which is killing the Kraken in Sea of Thieves.
That's a great one.
I am going to go ahead and say that whole experience was one of the most exciting things that I've done in a video game. And just even though you don't get any treasure or anything like that for it, just doing it and living to tell the tale felt like an accomplishment, and it felt like a lot of fun.
Yes, because we not only beat the Kraken, we handily beat the Kraken.
Yeah, we whooped it. We did not even take much damage to our ship. So it was a lot of fun. And that was just one of those things that just felt super cool. So that was probably the most recent one. And up next, I'll go ahead and say Trials Fusion. It's an Xbox One game. And I don't know if you guys ever played the Trials games.
Is it Fusion Frenzy?
No, it's Trials Fusion.
No.
It's it's like a motorcycle game, and it's basically 2D, but with 3D graphics, and so you're basically trying to beat your friend's times on these courses with the motorcycle, and it's basically trying to perform jumps and balancing and getting everything just landed perfectly. So there's this one level, though, where you have the whole point is to jump off of a ramp and fling your body as far as you possibly can. And it's kind of like, distance jumping, I guess, in the Olympics, something like that. So it's the same idea, and you're flinging yourself off of this ramp with a motorcycle, and the point is to see how far you can go. And my friend Tony had beaten everyone by a humongous distance, and I just couldn't figure out how he did it. So I played it for probably 5 hours one night, just doing this one level over and over and over and over again. And finally, I managed to get about 2 feet past him, and that felt like a humongous accomplishment. It was about 5 hours of my life spent on a track that should have taken 2 minutes, and it was I felt like I had achieved something really special.
You did.
It was wonderful. And then thank you. Let's see. So the actual achievement that I got from a video game that is my personal favorite was in the original Dragon Age Origins game. There was an achievement that just popped up on my screen after my fourth or fifth playthrough that said, basically, you've tread the ground of every square foot in the game. So every area that's in the game, you've stepped everywhere you can step. You've been to every secret, everything. You've seen everything this game has to offer. And I was really happy about that.
I was there the day that achievement popped up on the screen.
Yeah, and he was like, geez, dude, you think you played this enough?
Where do you even go from there?
Yeah, I mean, that's just, I peaked early, I guess. Life was all downhill after that. Up next, so when I was a child, I had a PlayStation 1. And when I first got my PlayStation 1, I didn't get a memory card because, it was still kind of a new the idea of having to have a memory card. And so I didn't have one. Yet I had Castlevania Symphony of the Night. And I really wanted to beat that game, but I had no way of saving. And you only have a certain amount of lives if you don't save. I think you have like 2 or 3 lives, something like that. And it's about a 7-hour game. Maybe 8 hours if you just play it straight through. And one day on a weekend, I had the day free, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to beat this game even though I can't save at any point. I'm just going to make sure I beat this game. And sure enough, about 9 hours through, I had beaten the game without saving a single time, and that was pretty exciting for me as a child.
Good.
And last but not least, very recently, I beat Super Mario Brothers. The original Super Mario Brothers for the first time in my life. I've been playing that game since I was 6, and I just beat it, and I was really happy about that.
you took that's one of mine that I was gonna say as well.
It's funny because it's one of those games where almost everyone that I've ever met has played the first couple levels, but I don't know a lot of people that have actually beaten it.
Yeah, I've beaten it. I beat it. Good shit. Took a long
time. That's my list.
I like your list. It's a good list, sir.
Thanks.
Thanks. Am I up next?
Go for it, buddy.
All right. In addition to Super Mario Brothers, I think all of them, like 2, 3, all of those, I always thought that was an accomplishment. I always liked it. Another one, in Halo 3, there was a moment in Halo 3 where the whole team was on Ghost trying to escape like a falling planet or something like that. And we it took so long to do, but it was some of the most fun. And when we finally did, I was like, I feel accomplished. That was amazing. That was a great Halo 3 moment. Another fun thing from Halo 3 is I feel like I got pretty good at throwing sticky grenades on people. So whenever I did that from a long way away, I really thought I was accomplished.
It's true. It always feels good. There are a few things that are as satisfying as sticking somebody with a sticky grenade in any game. Even nowadays when we're playing Call of Duty World War II and you hit someone right on the head with a little sticky grenades, it feels so good.
It does.
In Halo, that's true, because that was really a skill that you had to hone to be good at.
And I feel like I was actually pretty decent at it, and not like up close, but I can throw them for quite a few ways. And that was probably the only thing I was somewhat decent at in Halo. But I enjoyed doing that quite a bit. The GameCube game of Eternal Darkness, when I finally beat that game. God, that game was so long, but I loved it. It was very difficult. Also, I felt very accomplished on both old school PC games from Sierra, Phantasmagoria and Phantasmagoria 2. Super hard PC games. Shit, if you have those games, let me know, because I still have them, but they won't work on my Apple, unfortunately. I just want to play those games so badly again. And what else? I guess that's it. I guess that's my very, like, my gaming choices. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that I was like, yay, achievement. I guess, you know, in all the Halo games, you collect those. There's certain skulls. If you get all the skulls, that's always good time. I thought mostly, yeah, I liked it. It was always fun.
Right on. That was always fun.
So,
and you know, the first three Halo games, they were some of those games that felt awesome just to beat. Just beating the campaign always felt really good.
I saw an image online that was an image, like an aerial image of the old school Halo map Blood Gulch, with the like a title that said "Where Boys Became Men." And I thought that was so fucking funny and true.
That is so funny.
The old Blood Gulch map. So I thought that was really good. All right, Jeremy, what do you got?
All right. So my first and probably biggest one, and I'll go into Sea of Thieves next after this, but my first one was, my biggest one is, and it's what made me think of this topic, is in the Batman Arkham games, you know, in the first one, you had a little bit of Riddler stuff, but in the second one, when they actually went to Arkham City, you know, beating, because you had riddles everywhere, and beating the Riddler portion of that game, you had to combination solve something like 125 or like 150 riddles between like figuring out what you needed to take a picture of or just finding a question mark. I mean, it was a serious, serious undertaking. And I know that when I finally beat that and it like revealed his location and I went there, like, solving that Riddler portion of that game is the single probably greatest, like, achievement of satisfaction that I have ever gotten out of a video game, because that was a monumental task where it's like, if you decided you were going to do that, that was the most work I think I'd ever put into a single thing in a video game, into, like, just one task. That's not like, oh, I beat Knights of the Old Republic. It's like, that was great. But that's, like, just what, that's, like, the whole game. But, like, man, the Riddler thing was the single biggest, like, undertaking of a task I've ever tried.
Yeah.
To the point of where I feel like I need to play the third one, even though I've heard it's not as good, just because I'm like, well, the Riddler's probably in there, and I just feel like I need the sense of accomplishment, you know, to just go and get that fucker a third, you know, one more time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I like that. I will also put the Kraken from Sea of Thieves in our not too distant recent excursion. But, you know, and not only that, even recently at Sea of Thieves, John and I were attempting a skull fort with the two of us. And hilariously, while we were doing that, another sloop rolled up and offered to help. So it was, you know, two other random dudes that were going to do it with us, and then we were going to split the treasure. While we were doing this, this galleon full of douchebags rolls up on us and decides to shit on our party.
Really?
And, yes. Upon coming up, though, hilariously, I jumped on a cannon on the island, fired off a bunch of shots. John then went and got a exploding barrel, hit him with that. And then even though some skeletons killed me, I spawned back in just in time to basically watch their ship sink from the massive ass-whooping that John and I handed them. And that was a pretty great moment to just, like, watch their ship tip over into the water.
Yeah.
It was, because they were fully loaded, too. They had the full paint job and sails and everything. They were pretty decked out and pretty serious. And it just felt really good to give them their karma when they had come up and just messed with us, who were, you know, when we weren't bothering them at all.
Yep.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
We gave them the pirate business.
I like it. I like it.
And let's see. Another big one for me was definitely raiding in Destiny. One was cool, but Destiny 2 was a lot of fun with the I think it was the Oryx raid. King's Fall is what it was called.
Yeah, was that what was it called?
Which one was it?
I don't even remember. What was it called?
Oh, no, it was Destiny. No, that was still Destiny 1. Okay. Josie was correcting my my inaccuracy. Destiny 1, Oryx, King's Fall raid. Getting that done and having to work out something like that where you have six players, a lot of work and just a shitload of fun. But beating it and getting the raid gear was super satisfying.
Sweet. I'm glad. I guess I never did a full raid on Destiny 1 or 2, even though I had those. Even like doing like the really big missions always had a sense of very big accomplishment and satisfaction. Always like that.
Most definitely.
Is that it
for your list, Jeremy?
That's it for mine.
All right, cool. I like it. I like it. Those are good good video game achievements. All right, y'all ready for the last one?
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right, last one. Last big topic. We're going to talk about lines of dialogues from movies that always made us choke up and become emotional or really made us think and deep down type of stuff. I had a good time doing this one, guys. I did. I always got choked up thinking about these, actually. And it's like, oh, I want to watch this again and cry. So, Jonathan, you go first. Emotional lines of dialogue from movies that have always stuck with you.
All right. Now, are we going to be quoting these movies, the lines as well?
Yeah, you got to say them. Yeah, of course.
All right, cool. I'm going to start with The Last Jedi and one of Yoda's lines from that movie, because that whole scene was so touching and so perfect. And in there he says, "Pass on what you have learned, strength, mastery, but weakness, folly, failure also. Yes, failure most of all. The greatest teacher failure is. Luke, we are what they grow beyond. That is the true burden of all masters."
So that stuck with you, huh?
I feel like if you're going to quote Yoda, you probably need to do Yoda voice.
"Pass on what you have learned."
Black Hawk style.
"Failure most of all." All right. Next up, I've got from 500 Days of Summer, a quote that I liked a lot from that film, which is, "Some people are meant to fall in love with each other, but not meant to be together." I thought that was a really cool quote.
Right.
And profound.
And profound.
Next up is the line
Hold on. Before you get over from 500 Days of Summer, there is a Star Wars reference in that movie, too.
Yes, there is.
So Two Star Wars movies.
When he winks at himself in the mirror and there's Han Solo looking back at him, which was – I remember the first time I saw that, that whole scene was just made me laugh so hard. It was such a fantastic scene because we've all been there. We've all felt that.
We've all been there. I look at myself and I see Harrison Ford as Han Solo.
Do you remember what that scene is?
Yes, I do remember what that scene is.
That's – I'm just – you know, the whole scene was just kind of a – kind of a joke on that feeling of elation that we've all felt in that situation. So that's what I'm talking about.
I think John actually sees himself as Han Solo. So I'm going with that.
Yeah, that's a given.
Okay.
Up next is a quote from both Moulin Rouge and a quote from David Bowie. They got it from David Bowie's song. When they said, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return.
Ah, all right.
And I'll go ahead and say this one, too. When Frodo said, I wish this had never happened, Gandalf said, so do I. And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us.
Oh, hey now.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. And that's my list.
I like that list. You ended on a very good, very good note. I actually thought you were going to say, for Frodo.
That's my quote. For Frodo!
That
line that was so touching.
That's the line. Well, that's what I hope Jeremy says before, you know, getting intimate. Just say, for Frodo. No,
not typically and it thinking works about hobbits at that point.
Every
in time.
Time, it works every time for her. He didn't just start doing that; she made him do that.
It's a
I'm very considerate. I take requests.
Frodo. All right, Jeremy. What are your some lines of dialogue from movies that always got you choked up and emotional?
Well, you know. Originally, I didn't realize it was stuff that was supposed to get you choked up. It just said powerful.
Yeah.
So I didn't really go the choked up route. You know, for me, you can pretty much insert all of, you know, the various Yoda dialogue. And it gets the job done in any of the movies. But probably one of my favorite lines is actually not from a movie, but it's from the American Gods TV show.
Yeah.
And... it's delivered by Ian McShane, you know, as he's playing, you know, he's playing Wednesday, and he says the line, you know, you are pretending you can't believe in impossible things. And that was something that when he said that, I just really liked that quote. And that's something that stuck with me ever since I heard him say that.
That's really cool. I like
nice.
That.
That's cool.
I like that.
So, yeah, that's mine.
Sweet. Sweet deal. You want to hear mine?
We do. Okay. I picked one because I figured you probably had like 8. 15.
Well, the rest of his were just Dan Aykroyd quotes, too. and lines from Ghostbusters.
That's true.
And Liar, Liar in Multiplicity.
That leg's got to come off.
I hold myself under contempt.
That's so good. All right, emotional one-liners for me, powerful emotional one-liners for me. One that always stuck out is from Shawshank Redemption, get busy living or get busy dying. That I love that line. It's just that's a powerful line and good to live by, I think.
Mm-hmm.
From E.T., the very end, E.T. Tells Elliot, I'll be right here. And then the John Williams music score comes up and it's just, oh, it's just so, it's so gratifying. So good. I'll be right here. It's so great. Another one from a very, very recent film. From the movie Logan, which just still kills me, is when he's dying, he's looking at his daughter and he realizes he's dying with his family and he says, don't be what they made you. Holy shit, that line still gets me. So good. Good Will Hunting, it's not your fault. Holy shit, that whole scene was amazing. But yeah, it's not your fault is so good.
How about dim apples?
How about dim apples? Yeah. I also put from that
That's movie, a powerful quote.
So there's that one, but I think it's not your fault. And I think it's in that same scene where Matt Damon's like, he used to make me pick between a belt and a wrench. I used to pick the wrench. And Robin Williams goes, why? And he goes, because fuck him, that's why. And that's just like a crazy fucking line.
Yeah.
In Forrest Gump, when he sees his son for the first time and he asks Jenny, but is he smart or is he, and he gestures to himself, that line, like, is he smart or is he like me? That's always kills me. In Stand By Me, I never had any friends later on, like the ones I had when I was 12. That is a fantastic film, fantastic scene of dialogue. Also in Schindler's List, I could have saved one more and I didn't, is just super powerful and lovely. And then I guess it's not just one line, but it's, always a very emotional, little like three thing of dialogue, in Field of Dreams at the very end where John and Ray, the father and son, say, hey, Dad, you want to have a catch? I'd like that. I don't know who just can't, who doesn't get choked up during that scene. And it's powerful just having a catch. I always,
yep.
I thought yeah,
that whole scene's great because just when he asks, you know, like finally asks, like, what, like, you know, why has he been put through all of that trial of having to do all that stuff? And he wants to know what's in it for him.
Yeah.
And the reveal. That was a great moment.
That was it's so good. So those are the ones I came up with that I've always loved. The one with Logan, like surprisingly, that movie, that line, "Don't be what they made you," is just so perfect in every way how they made that. He just like realizes like he's with family now that he never had before then. So I don't know. Really like that aspect. But yeah. Emotional one-liners. Doesn't it make you want to watch these movies now?
Mm-hmm. It does. I definitely want to watch Logan again now.
Yeah. I watched that movie a couple times while I worked, and I just realized, like, it's got great dialogue, but still, like, 80% of it is grunting and yelling.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's so true.
It's like, I really can't listen to this while I work, because it's just like,
But, yeah, when that end scene, it's all worth it for that. It's so good.
It is.
Yeah, I guess that those are my line. Those are the ones that always got me choked up. I didn't go any Pixar route this time, but I should have.
Yeah, Pixar. You know, there's just too much. You can just take the entire movie, and that's what gets you choked up.
Yeah,
we were talking about this the other day, how we both recently watched Coco, and how that movie just fucked us up.
Yeah, I really like with Coco. I mean, it's so good, So interestingly enough, we play with my cousin JMR online. I asked him last week if he finally watched Coco, and he said
this,
yes.
This wasn't JMR.
No, this was JMR.
When it was with you, with me?
No. I asked.
Oh, okay. So this is a different conversation we're talking about here.
Yeah, I don't think Ebola has seen it yet. No, JMR.
Yes, he was the one we were talking about it with.
Yes, yeah. No, so Ebola said he did cry, but I asked JMR if he did cry during Coco when he watched it. And he goes, no. And I was like, I don't understand how you can't get choked up during that. Like, especially at the end of that movie. It's just, oh, it's so good. And you know what? You know, I thought about putting Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, when he's like, my friends, you bow to no one. And everybody bows to them at Minas Tirith, which was always a really cool line. But I didn't add that in there. But yeah, Coco, man. It's holy shit. How do you not?
Oh, my God. That whole movie just destroyed me, man. There's like five scenes that had me just fighting so I wasn't just choking on my tears.
Just ugly crying.
Just trying so hard to not go, you know, like audibly cry.
Yeah.
Because there were tears. I was just trying not to be too loud about it.
Yeah.
And I considered not doing that a victory.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough when that happens. But yeah. I believe that is our podcast for this week. We will definitely be back next week with Mediocrity Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Can anybody find you guys anywhere online?
No.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jeremy Megard Art.
Sweet. Check that out. Yeah, and go to boomstickcomics.com, highdefdigest.com, and see some goodness. And I want to just mention we got a couple new shows coming up on the lineup on the Multimedia Men Network, so stay tuned for those. And we will see you soon with more Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom news.